Hey, thank you so much. It's always a privilege to be here and to share the word of God with you. I pray that, I pray that our hearts will be opened and ready to let God speak to us. Did you like that video?
Yes.
It's very nice, isn't it?
Yes.
Hey, did you like the Wayne's poem?
Yes.
And his encouragement?
Yes.
Hey, you are brave to be that vulnerable. God bless you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Shall I hear some response there? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. We are so happy to be here. Simply because I'm a father. Hey. But that's been true. Not everybody is a father. It doesn't make you any different. It's just that we happen to be fathers. But then we don't want to also trivialize the role of a father. And today, I'm just taking the word of God and banding it around so that we can look at a few things. And it's a passage that most of you will know. It's a prayer that most of you will know. And Monica, thank you for beautiful reading. Whenever I hear somebody reading so beautiful, I want them to be at my bedside when I was growing up. But I've missed that opportunity. So thank you so much that I can have it now. Today is Father's Day. It's amazing that she's a mother and she's even more excited than the fathers. Today is Father's Day.
Yeah.
If you're a father here, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. That's what I want to hear. Praise God. Hey, God bless you. It's a good thing to be a father. Because literally, you are there representing God here on this earth. That's your role. And that is a very, very important role. Because we say God is our Father. If God is our Father and you are our fathers, then God we cannot see, but then we want to see God through you as our Father. Hallelujah. So as you stand and you model fatherhood, you actually open the heart of God to your children and to the community around you. I put a title to our message today. It says, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. And what is exciting is that the disciples came to Jesus one day at a certain place, the Bible says. And when he had finished praying, they said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. What they are saying is that we are acknowledging the relationship that we have with you. And that relationship is the essence of honor and respect being communicated clearly. Lord, teach us to pray. They called him Lord because Lord, the root word is Adonai. It means I see you as above me. You are all wise. You are all knowledgeable. You are all understanding. I see you as superior than I am. So when we come to get to the point of calling him Lord, teach us to pray. Fathers, we are saying that the relationship between us and our children is this. That we model fatherhood to the point that our children can look at us and say that you are above. As people of God and fathers, we have to do the same. We have to take oversight.
We should ensure that there's order in the home. We should ensure there's peace in the home. We should ensure there's joy in the home. We should ensure there's presence in the home. Hallelujah. That means be there. And presence also means the presence of God must be in your home. Because who are we modeling? We are modeling God. You see, the disciples went to Jesus because they saw the presence of God over his life. They saw he was doing something. They saw there was something unique about him, something special about him. There was a presence. There was anointing about him. And for that reason, they said, teach us to pray. You see, when I see somebody does something so good, I want to be like that person. When I go out and I preach and I see good things, I'm thinking, I ask questions. How can I bring something to help our church, as it were? I'm always learning. And we should also learn. And as Father, have oversight. Be there. Don't go away all the time. Sometimes stay at home. And I like in the video when Simba was there. I mean, sometimes he had to have a cape and had to be woken up. Is that right? So be home and just do your snoring. That's okay, it's allowed. Well, even in my home, it's allowed. If you are from my home, you can say amen.
Amen.
Hey, God, this is a revelation. Praise God. So, guys, we want to push this matter forward. The Father should cast a strong vision. You see, as a father, you have to show leadership. You have to model leadership in your home. And as you watch the video, you saw Simba go up on the pride rock and show the son and showed him all the kingdoms and all the empire and the extent of it and started talking to him. He was talking, giving him wise sayings. He was advising him and guiding him and telling him what to do. When he was talking about, oh, that we know that we have to eat these guys. But he said, one day we will also die and they will also eat us, so we are interconnected. Are you with me? So if you are modeling leadership, you are creating interconnectedness in your home. That means your child is learning to trust you more. Your child is learning to actually follow you more. Your child is actually trusting to open his or her heart to you to share what is in their hearts so that you know where they are going. So that if you need to knock them in to place, you will. Are you with me? You have to cast a strong vision. Cast a strong vision of greatness to your children. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, sometimes we have to give up some of the painful memories of the past. That's why we spend 2 months to do emotional, healthy, spirituality, where we've been taught to grieve, where we've been taught to go back and sometimes see some of the painful things and how to connect with it, go through the dark nights of the soul and really wrestle with God and ask God for healing. And God will do it. And for Duane, I believe God has done it for you. I don't know how many questions you ask, but I know you're somebody who asks a lot of questions. So, we have to model leadership. So you can see that Simba modeling, Mufasa modeling, I mean leadership to Simba, saying that one day you will be great. So don't put your children down, fathers. Stop putting your children down if you're doing that. Lift them up. It's not every child that will become a prime minister or will become a king or will become an engineer or a pilot or something. Some may be road sweeper, some may be anything. But somehow along there's interconnectedness that you have to let them know that if they work hard, they can achieve more. Hallelujah. Amen. And help them to work hard so that they can achieve more. So that they can do as you did and even outdo you. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Our Father, we pray to him to provide for us. Provide the bread for the today, bread for tomorrow, and bread for the next days coming. That's our prayer. Oh God, you provide for us. You are our provision. Give us that job so that we can have that money. Give us that social that we are entitled to so that we can live. Give us X, Y, Z. God, give us our daily bread. And just as we trust God to provide for us, fathers, we have a responsibility where we have to come to the point of knowing that the household will look up to us as fathers. The responsibility of making sure that there is food on the table each day is yours. The father should thus work hard, be sensible, wise with money, and provide for the home. Hallelujah. You see, sometimes men, our toys are more expensive than ladies' toys. And sometimes men spend their money on some toys that it sometimes drains out the finances at home, and it doesn't matter to them. That is not how God modeled it to us. Give us each day our daily bread. So as a father, there should never be a time that there's no food on the table. One of the things that I've been praying ever since I became a father, that Father, help me that at each day there is food on the table. There's been few times that it's been ever so difficult, and even then God has come in at the right time. I remember when my first daughter was just but a little girl in a pram, it was a time that I was just waiting for my paycheck to come through and hadn't. We had barely nothing. And I just prayed to God. And then very morning, a friend of mine, never seen him for a long time, apart from the fact that he was my best man, just sent something through the post, and I opened it, and I had £70 in them. We're talking about 20-something years ago. And I quickly took my car. It wasn't a real car, pushchair. And my baby in my car. And I drove so fast. And this Tesco up the hill just opened. And I made sure that I filled my boot with all that I could have. That's the underneath the pushchair. With all that I could. And I thank God that we ate for that week and more until my next paycheck came. You see, our God provides in that way. And we should make it a priority to provide for our household. And if you're a father and you are sleeping and expecting your wife to go and work and mind you in the home, which sometimes is common with even Christian fathers, that is not acceptable. You're not modeling Christianity. You're not modeling Jesus. Because they said, Father, teach us how to pray. And he taught them, give us this day our daily bread. There's a provision for us to have because God will provide. So you should, standing in place of God, provide for your home. Say hallelujah for your father. Praise God for your life. Now give them limits with guidelines, boundaries. Go back to the video again. He said there are some bad guys out there. Don't go. And the kids always, they are so smart. They are modern kids. They know everything. Yeah. And then he was actually even reciting all that he had to know because he said it over and over and again. Sounds like sometimes in my home. When I begin to tell them something, you rehearse it before I finish it because they've heard it so much. But they will remember, and I'm sure they will tell their own kids too. You have to learn to give your children boundaries. Yet allow them room to explore. Kyra and Ador Simba was an example for us. You see, giving them boundaries or giving them limits doesn't mean that, don't do 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 that. When it will harm them, warn them about it. Tell them why you think it's the case. But give them a chance to explore. Otherwise, you raise up children who are fearful and can't do much. But we are in an economy or part of the world that the competition is very fierce. So if you raise up fearful kids out there, they will always be sat on. Are you with me? Out there is fierce. So you have to raise up strong men and women. Give them boundaries, but let them explore. And when they make mistakes, don't kill them. No, if you kill them, you have no more kids. If they make mistakes, don't kill them. Don't even say, I told you so. That put a sense of guilt on them. It's good to say, hey, you did not do right this time round, but I hope you learn from that lesson and do better next time. And if you have a wise saying, give it to them. Is that okay? I know sometimes when they make certain mistakes, it's so heart-wrenching, scary for you as a parent that you feel like, oh, I want to kill you. But then you have no more kids, so don't kill them. Praise God. Give them limits with guidance. God even gave us limits. Right from the Garden of Eden, he gave us limit with guidance. Yet allow them room to explore. Proverbs 13:24 says that whoever spares the rod hates the children, but one who loves the children is careful to discipline them. And I know that, for years, in my early Christian days, spare the rod and kill the child, and it's like, you get up the belt or get up the cane and make sure that they get it when they're wrong. But then they get to a point that they become so used to it and they grow up, and then by the time you finish beating them, you're so exhausted and they're okay. I must say, I don't think it's the experience of my children, but I went through something similar to that. Hey, don't kill yourself. Make sure you don't pass out by just wanting to beat your children. Even in this country, the law actually prevents us from beating our children. You see, so how do we read into this chapter, this passage? Proverbs 13, verse 24. Whoever spares the rod hates the children, but the one who loves the children is careful to discipline them. I would say have a firm voice where necessary. You see, sometimes, it's just the looks you give to your kids and they get a message. You understand that? Sometimes you only have to raise your voice a bit. You just say, oh, don't do that. They won't hear it. Tell them, don't do that. You see, who is the father in the house? You or the child? Sometimes in some homes, it's as if the children are the fathers. Never let your child sit on you, you know. Don't sit on them either, but have a firm voice. It means discipline and accountability. Let me pick this discipline very quickly for you guys. It means show authority in the home. Say amen to that if you believe that. Bring order in the home. Bring instruction in the home. Bring education in the home. Teach them in the home. Prepare or advise them in the home. You have to train or school them in the home. Bring direction in the home. Give them guidelines, control, correction. And in some cases, punishment. Punishment what? Always the belt, always the cane. You can't do it now. So what do? Chastise them? Same thing. What do? Tell them off. Confiscate. Put them in the blue zone. Or the naughty zone. Time out. You don't drop them at their party anymore. Say it again. Thank you. 15 minutes. Order. Manage or be in charge of their behavior. That's what discipline means. Are you with me? Have you seen all the meanings for discipline? And we always go for the what? The rod? Don't do that. Do you know that you can actually have children, never hit them, and they will still be good? If you discipline them, if you teach them what to do, if you direct them, if you teach them, if you show them which way to go, train them, teach them, prepare and advise them, give them guidelines, control, correct them. Let's see some bad examples. Okay, I didn't mean that. Bad examples of fatherhood. Eli the priest did not become a good father. See, he was the man of God. God anointed him to lead his people, to offer sacrifices, to teach them to relate to God so that they can relate better with each other in the home. But this man, his sons were not doing well. When people bring their sacrifices before God, you know what they do? They just take their portion first. They help themselves to the tithe. And they were becoming fat. And guess what? The Bible said when they did that, they put their forks in the offering, and then they cook and they eat, and they invite their father and they ate. The father got to a point, he became so big that the Bible said even his eyes was closing. Yes, it's in the Bible. Go and read it. 1 Samuel chapter 2. His eyes was closing because of fatness, eating so much. Right. And instead of he telling his children, what you are doing is no good, he just watched them to do it, and he participated in it. So sometimes, fathers, if you're home and for some reason your child is doing something which is not right, be it drugs, alcohol, stealing, whatever it is, that you know it is morally unacceptable. Community will not allow it. The law will not allow it. God will not approve of it. Please, fathers, tell your children. Because at the end of the day, this man Eli died and broke his neck. His sons were killed on the same day because the glory of God departed from them. Let me take another person that you'll be surprised. King David. He had a bad example of fatherhood. He had children, quite a few of them, but one he loved so much, Absalom. He loved Absalom too much, I will put it. He loved Absalom too much to the extent that he allowed Absalom to undermine his reign and bring shame to him. He undermined his reign and brought shame to him. Whatever Absalom did was gold to David. David knew that whatever Absalom was doing was wrong. But he never said, my son, you are wrong, because he loved Absalom. Even when Absalom died, he was crying. And said, oh, my son, Absalom, Absalom. Even when people were talking to him about his kingdom, he couldn't care less. He was more grieving for Absalom. And Absalom was just a bad guy who actually caused David to run away from his kingdom and was walking in the bush and on the wilderness. And worthless people were cursing David, the king, the man who is after God's heart. People were cursing him. He brought so much humiliation to him because he never, ever put him in his right place. He loved him so much. And sometimes, fathers, we love our kids so much. And if you love your kids so much, there's always a consequence for our actions. Do we hear that? There's always consequences for our actions. And sometimes it's a lot more difficult to correct these consequences when it comes to that point. Let me pick another example. King Solomon. We write about him. The guy, I love him. He wrote three of the books of poetry, of the five books of poetry in the Bible. We know that. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Songs. This guy wrote so much about wisdom, and people had to travel to come and see his wisdom. But he did all these things in his first 20 years. The next 20 years that he reigned, Solomon was a very task-oriented person, yoke inflictor, and merciless in his dealings. That will surprise you, isn't it? If it surprises you, one day come to walk through the Bible, that will help you out. My next one is 10th September. Follow me to Ilford. What we're saying here is that he was more interested in tasking his children so much. They do so much work in his kingdom. The Bible said he gave them what? Harsh labor. That was what he was doing. Solomon was bringing harsh labor. He was taxing them financially, heavily. Some of us As soon as your children begin to work, you know what? Well, probably this generation doesn't start, but our generation is different. Our generation, you have to bring your pay packet home, and your dad will take and give you a little bit for yourself. You'll be thinking, gosh, that's slavery. We didn't die. We're so smart and wiser. But good fathers, don't tax your children so much. Don't be harsh on them. Don't let them work too hard. Sometimes as soon as we get to a point, we are fathers, so when we come home, we cross our legs. All the work is for the children. Really? Are you that type of father? I really want to beg you, our God did not model that kind of fatherhood to us. So we should not model it. Don't come and cross your legs because you've gone to what? You've gone to work. Yeah, we know that. But somebody is also at home working so hard, looking after them kids, and cooking and doing all sort of, and tidying up the house and doing everything that you have to get. So when you come, do something, if at all possible. I know some wives don't want their husband to do anything. As long as they've gone to work, that is fine. God bless you. If you are that kind of father, God bless you. But you see, if you model working even at home, your children also will know that one day they have to help their wives at home. If you don't do it, they will never do it. So you have to model fatherhood in that sense to your people. Solomon was merciless. As soon as you rebel against him, he will kill you. Yeah, you can go and read it for yourself. 1 Kings chapter 11 and chapter 12. It's all about Solomon and his kingdom and his son, Rehoboam. If you rebel against him, he'll punish you. Just like our fathers, some of our fathers at home. As soon as the child goes wrong, bam, bam, bam. They are in trouble. Please, don't yell at them because they've got it wrong. Don't beat them because they've got it wrong. Sometimes, as I would like to put it, give them an umbrella of mercy. Hallelujah. Amen. Give them an umbrella of mercy. Just like we have an umbrella that goes over our head to shield us from either the sun or the rain so that we don't get wet. Give them an umbrella of mercy. So rain mercy over their lives. Yes? Praise God. Another guy who is not on the PowerPoint is Samuel. See, when you read 1 Samuel chapter 8, you see that Samuel was another holy man of God. Was a judge, the last judge of the people of Israel when it was the United Kingdom. And he was never a king, but he put two kings in place, Saul and David. He was a prophet. Was their leader. But when he was old, the people came to him and said, Samuel, you know what? Samuel, you are old, but your children are not like you. That's what they said. Your children are not like you, so give us a king. First time, God was their king. God was their fighter. God was their military general. God was their provider. God was protecting them. God was shielding the Israel. Everything that they needed, God was doing it for them. But for the first time, they asked for a king. And Samuel was so hurt by that, that they've rejected God. And they've rejected him. But God said, Samuel, it's not about you, it's about me. But what about Samuel was that Samuel was so busy working. Samuel was so busy doing what he had to do. He goes out and hardly come back. Each time you see Samuel was in another town, another village, doing this, doing that, looking after the people. And sometimes you see, fathers, we care so much about the community that we are responsible for and the work that we have to do out there that sometimes we are not at home. We are not at home. And because we are not at home, you know what? Our children miss us. And when they miss you to that point, they get hurt. And when they get hurt, there's disconnection there, emotionally. And when there's that disconnection there, it doesn't help them. It takes a longer time to heal that wound. Samuel was too busy solving out problems of the community and work. And fathers, I tell you something, sometimes take a day off, just be home with your kids. If at all possible, then you can come home early, and some days do. Work will go on when you are sacked. Work will go on when you are ill and can't do it no more. Work will go on when you're dead. Work will go on when a new manager comes. So you are not indispensable. Are you with me? Life will go on. God will still be God. So somehow, you and me need to really think about fatherhood. Let's look at some good fathers. Good fathers keep their promises. Dad, you promise! Yeah. I remember I was teaching, it almost happened to all my girls. I was teaching them how to ride bicycles. And sometimes they come at a time that I really want to have a kip or something else. I want to watch some favorite television program or something. Dad, you promise we go to the park today. I'm thinking, oh God, help me out. Oh yes, we will go. But at the back of my mind, but could we do it another time? No, we go. And we go. And we ride the bike. I don't know how far they took it. But it's important that if you're a good father, you keep your promises. Because if you do not keep your promises, they stop looking up to you at some point. They rather go out for their mates, and other people out there who keep their promises to them, whether it's bad or good. So keep your promises. Because if you keep your promises, it brings trust. There should be oversight and provision for the next generation. Let's think about Isaac. See, Abraham was a man who was very wealthy and was also a godly man. He modeled fatherhood in the sense that his son Isaac became a very prayerful man. Do you know that it took 20 years before Isaac had a baby? 20 years. The wife was also barren, just like the mother was. And the guy prayed and interceded. He became an intercessor. Where did he learn it from? He learned it from his father. His father was always interceding. If you look at Genesis chapter 19, he was interceding for Lot when he was messing about in Sodom and Gomorrah. He was interceding, praying, and talking to God and saying, oh God, please help him out. Oh God, please, if you can have one person, can you still save the land? And he was praying and praying and praying and praying. So he modeled prayer. And also he dug wells. That means he was adventurous. Not only that, but he was also businesslike. He was enterprising. So do something enterprising so that one day you can leave something behind for your children. Even if it's a pound, leave it in their passbook for them. So if you look at Isaac, as far as worldly wealth is concerned, he never suffered. He just walked into prosperity. He just walked into money. He just walked into peace, as it were. He just walked into a home where prayer was. He just walked into a home where God was there. And that was what he left. His father Abraham left for him as a generation. So even the wells that Isaac dug, actually, if you read the scripture, it said he unstopped what his father had already dug. Do you understand that? That means it has already been done for him. He only had to go and say, come on, let us get the earth out of it. It's been done already. So what message are you leaving in the minds and the hearts of your children? What is it that you are leaving for them as the next generation so that they can also get up and say, hey, our father left us this legacy. You may not have money to leave them, but you may have something good to leave them. A kind of lifestyle, kind of character, kind of morals, a kind of God for them. Good fathers look out for the prodigals. Go and read it for yourself. Luke chapter 15, the story about the prodigal son. When sometimes kids can really mess you about, if you're a father, they can hurt you. Sometimes kids think fathers don't get hurt by their behavior because we love our kids, but sometimes fathers, we don't show our love and our emotions that too much. But they love their kids so much, their children so much. And therefore, when you go and do things wrongly, it hurts them dearly. But then, a good father will always look out for you, and a good father will learn to forgive you. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. The good father will forgive because he himself has been forgiven a lot. Is aware that God, his father, has given him much, forgiven him much, and therefore he knows how to forgive. Don't vex your children. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it said that, look, fathers, do not exasperate your children. It means do not infuriate them. Do not frustrate them. Do not wind them up. Do not drive them mad. Do not annoy them or drive them round the bend. Hey, you have to make that effort. Because sometimes our behavior as fathers really drive our kids round the bend. And when they say it, we have to listen. Sometimes we have to listen to them and say, Dad, you know what? I didn't like this. Dad, you did. You have to learn. You got to be humble too as a father. Yeah? Sometimes I get a telling off from my, my children or ladies? One of them. Yeah. Or some of them. Or all of them. And sometimes when I get it, I give it back too. But whatever it is, here, guys, there's got to be give and take. As much as you want to give it to them, learn to receive correction and don't vex them too much. Be conscious of that. Good fathers need to tread much more carefully. That actually follows to this. Especially you have to tread the balance between adulthood and children. See, when they are 20s, they are young adults. They are feeling the world. They are getting their own jobs, getting their own pay. I mean, feeling around to see their own women and their own men, and life is changing for them. But then as a father, if you're not careful, you think you are always the only man in town. And everybody must bow to you. Hang on a minute. They are growing up, and they will soon leave home. So begin to learn to transition between childhood and adulthood, and ask God for wisdom to be able to do that. From there on, you cannot scream and yell at them no more. You cannot say, hey, you can't come home until, by 9 o'clock you'll be home. You're joking. That is secondary school. They're grown now. Leave them alone. As my mother would say, the only young ones. And that is exactly the case. And the last point on that one is this. That lead us not into temptation. The message you have or you leave in their minds and hearts of your children matters most. See, Duane was talking about sometimes thinking about your dad and hating him. He must have left a message for him. Not literally just say it, but some actions. So what message are you leaving for your children? So today, if you're going home, somebody asks you, Father's Day, what have we to learn? Lord, teach us to pray. That is exactly what we are saying. If Lord should teach us to pray, then we have to model that to our children. Lord, teach us to model fatherhood. And we have a Father in heaven who we look up to. So we should represent him well here on this earth. Should I hear amen?
Amen.
Should I hear amen?
Amen.
One more time, amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Hey, God bless you richly. Now we're going to have a response. Musicians, get on the stage, and we're going to, pray for fathers first, then pray for certain situations, and Alice will help us do that. And we'll call it out as we go along. So.